Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue looking at least a couple more implications that grow out of this doctrine in Romans chapter 7 of the tension in the believer, the born-again believer, between the carnal and the spiritual. That's one way to put it. The way Paul summarizes it at the end of the chapter, verse 25, is this: "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." When he says, "with the mind I myself serve the law of God," that's the spiritual part. And when he says, "but with the flesh the law of sin," that's the carnal part. And the Apostle Paul told us in this chapter, in verse 14, that he was carnal, sold under sin. That wasn't all of what he was. See, carnality is not a word that describes the entire person of a born-again believer. There are no Christians who are entirely in the category of the carnal Christian, as opposed to other Christians who are entirely in a different category, the category of a spiritual Christian. All Christians are both spiritual and carnal. And though the spiritual dominates, it does not entirely control us in this life. The flesh continues to bother us, to plague us, until we are in heaven, and that's when we will be entirely sanctified. It's really exactly what Christ told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit has a desire to please the Lord. The spirit, the spiritual part of us, the spirit-renewed heart, the new mind, the new man, the part of us that is the redeemed part of us, that has spiritual desires, always. Always desires to serve Christ. Always desires to do what's right. But there is still the lingering, remaining flesh, not controlling us, not dominating us as it did before we were saved, but still hanging around and bothering us, kind of like guerrilla warfare. The flesh can no longer win the victory, and it knows it. It's already defeated. The flesh has no possibility of defeating us entirely and completely on the battlefield. And so it has been reduced to guerrilla warfare. It's kind of hiding in the bushes and sniping around the edges. But it will continue hiding in the bushes and sniping around the edges until the day we die. And that's the day when we will escape the clutches of sin that remain in our flesh, in our Adamic nature, hanging over from our first birth, which still bothers us even after our new birth. But when we go to heaven, all of the remaining effects of our first birth are gone forever and forever. Amen. Now, I want to discuss today how this doctrine has an implication for the doctrine of divine healing. What? What in the world does that have to do with it? Well, I want you to realize that there's a very obvious parallel, because the biblical doctrine of divine healing is that full physical deliverance awaits heaven, just like full spiritual deliverance awaits heaven. As we've been seeing in Romans chapter 7, we will not be perfect, we will not be entirely righteous, we will not be entirely sanctified until we get to heaven. There is no such thing as entire sanctification while we are living upon the earth. There is no such thing as sinless perfection upon the earth. Sorry, but it's just not so. And this chapter, among others in the Bible, makes that abundantly clear. The Apostle Paul was not sinlessly perfect. Romans 7:25 is not the statement of a man who has reached sinless perfection when he says, "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." That was Paul's condition. As great a saint of God as he was, as great a missionary as he was, as great an apostle as he was, as great a dedicated servant of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was still plagued by sin. With the flesh, he was still serving the law of sin, and still far too often falling into sinful patterns of thought and behavior. How would he be delivered from that? When he's delivered from the body. That's what he said. "A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body?" Until I'm delivered from the body, I will not be delivered from this guerrilla activity of sin in my life. I want to be delivered because the spiritual part of me longs to be delivered, but I know that I can't be delivered until I'm delivered from the body. I know I shall be delivered from this. I know I shall be delivered from the body. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has secured that victory upon the cross of Calvary, and he will bring me to that complete victory someday. I know that. I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I will be delivered from this body of death. But until I'm delivered through death from the body of death, then this is true of me. "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so there is no sinless perfection until we die. And dear friends, there is no physical perfection until we die either. And this is important. A lot of people are holding out hopes that are very misguided and therefore are detrimental to the spiritual well-being of the children of God. When you are told that it is God's will to heal, that it is always God's will to heal, and that if you have any sickness or infirmity, that the only thing that keeps you from being healed is your faith or your lack of faith, because God is ready and willing to heal if you'll just trust him, then you are being told something that is not true. Oh, but someone will say, isn't healing in the atonement? Indeed it is. Just like spiritual perfection, just like entire sanctification is in the atonement. But we don't get that part of the benefits of the atonement until we get to heaven. We don't get the physical healing benefits of the atonement until we get to heaven, which is not the same as saying, please don't misunderstand me, which is not the same as saying that God never heals. Of course he does. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Is it always God's will to heal? No. Is it sometimes God's will to heal? Yes. Have I experienced God's healing in this life? Yes. If I hadn't, I'd been dead a long time ago. I was diagnosed with very aggressive cancer in September of 1984. Now, I went to the doctor. I sought the best medical attention available. I was encouraged by some of God's well-meaning people to ignore normal medicine, whatever you call it. I can't think of the right name right now. And to instead seek alternative medicine. And given all kinds of horror stories about what happens with chemotherapy and radiation and how it would be better to go the natural healing route. Well, I gave it some thought and prayer, and I went to the best doctor I could find, and I had surgery, and I had lots of chemotherapy, no radiation, but lots of chemotherapy. I've had radiation later because I got another kind of cancer some years later. Entirely different kind, and that required radiation. So I've had both chemotherapy and radiation, and the chemotherapy was harsh. It did take its toll, and actually, the doctor who was provided for me by God works through means, doesn't have to, but that's what he generally does. And the means that God used to heal me was the medical community, but that doctor knows that he didn't get everything exactly right. He was doing some mighty impressive guessing at times, and he knows that, and I know that. But God guided him in those guesses, and he just happened, just happened to guess right at a couple of critical junctures as to what was the best route to take, and sure enough, it was the right route, and my cancer did respond to that decision and to the treatment that followed that decision. And if he'd been wrong and had made another decision, it might have been fatal, because that might have been a month or two's delay that would have been fatal in my situation, but he just happened to guess right. And furthermore, that doctor told me that what his goal was to give me 15 more years. In other words, he said, if you don't take the treatment, you'll be dead in a few months. If you do take it, this is aggressive cancer, and this is serious treatment, and the chemotherapy is going to take its toll upon your body. It's going to take its toll upon your vital organs, and it's going to wear them out. It's going to wear them out prematurely, and probably the best you can hope for is 15 years, but if you don't take the treatment, the best you can hope for is a few months. So with a choice like that, what do you do? Well, I prayed and committed my life to the Lord through the care of his doctor and did what he wanted to do and took the treatment. And it was rough, and I could tell you some of the damage that the chemotherapy did to my body. But here I am 21 years later in the peak of health, as far as I know. Yes, I even got another cancer later. A different kind entirely. Theoretically, unrelated to the first one, though one doctor told me that it might have been related to the treatment that I received for the first one. It might have been brought on by the chemotherapy, which I received. And this might be one of the results of it, that it weakened my thyroid, and I came down with thyroid cancer, and that required a form of radiation. But again, committing myself to the doctor and getting the best care available, the Lord used the doctor to heal me, and here I am, 21 years later, strong and healthy, and I don't know how long I'm going to live, but the Lord healed me. That's the point. Does God heal? Yes. Does God always heal? No. I have a pastor friend who had cancer, not the same as mine, but cancer, and he thought God was going to heal him, and he died. He died. Why did God heal me and not him? I don't know. We had the same doctor. Equally skilled, very effective doctor. The efforts of one of the doctor in one case brought healing. The efforts of the doctor in the other case didn't work, even though that doctor said he thought he could cure him. But he was wrong. He wasn't able to. In one case, it was God's will to heal. In the other case, it wasn't. Because the healing that's in the atonement is the healing that we get. Dear friends, listen to me. It's the healing we get at the resurrection of the body. Then we will be entirely well in our physical bodies and have a perfect body like Jesus had when he came out of the grave, a glorified body. That's the healing that has been purchased for us in the atonement. Until then, we can only have partial health and partial sickness, partial weakness. If that weren't true, nobody would die. But we all die. So-called divine healers all die, because the healing promised in the atonement is not realized until the day of our resurrection from the grave. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.